What's cracking? A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. Hope you had a great weekend. Some of you I know did, and some of you had a miserable weekend. We'll get to all of that momentarily. Let me start you off. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there is one small change behind the glass. The assassin, Jack Savage, is engineering today.
Jesus Christ, it's Jack Savage.
Look at him. He's already on it. Alvy's out. Jack Savage running the board. Chalk is here. Cindy is in the back row today. And I am right where I always am. All right, so you got your cell phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. Also, hit me up once again on email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I've got the following interview set up for you coming up at 9:40. A national NBA reporter for The Athletic, Mike Vorkunov. Coming up at 10:40, Kareem Jackson, a safety for the Denver Broncos. Third hour is wide open with the exception of an ATP. And we've got lots to get to on this Monday. All right, let's get going. Let's not waste any time. Let me start off by shouting out to my fellow half chowds, my half fam. Half fam. Now, you know it brings me no pleasure to say this at all. However, half fam, your Celtics half fam are full ass. I mean, seriously, find me a more disappointing, unprepared and unmotivated team than the Celtics. I'm going to wait. Hey, I'm right here. I'll wait. Find me a bigger coaching mismatch in the history of the NBA playoffs. I'll wait for that too, because that's exactly what that feels like. This feels like one of the best coaches to ever do it against a guy who should never have been allowed to coach in the NBA at all, but is overmatched, and he's completely overmatched, as Joe Mazzulla is. In no way am I going to let the rest of the Celtics off the hook. In fact, I want to do the opposite, because this is on them way more than it's on their overwhelmed head coach. It's the dudes on the court who spit the bit. It's the dudes on the court who quit last night. It's the dudes in uniform who have shown absolutely no fight or heart or grit in this series. And they did quit. They did. There's no question about that. Now, you know me, I don't throw that word around lightly, because calling a professional athlete a quitter is essentially the worst thing you could ever say about a pro athlete. I'm not about that. I'm not about the hot take factory. I'm not about Mount Rushmore. I'm not about just laying out and calling people quitters. I'm saying it this morning because they're quitters. It's true. They quit. They didn't just quit in a conference finals game. They quit in a game three, a must-win game in the conference finals. And they quit before the end of the third quarter of the game three. And you know why they did that? Do you know why they quit? Because they're quitters. And that's not just me punching the clock on the assembly line at the hot take factory. Don't just take my word for it, even though I'm right. But if you need a more credible source than yours truly, I've got no problem getting that for you. How about this? How about Irv? Is that credible enough? I mean, yes, Irv, talking about Magic Johnson, Irv does tweet out his ass more often than not. But not last night. Last night, dude was on one. He tweeted, quote, "In my 44 years of being associated with the NBA, I never thought that I'd see a Boston Celtics team, a franchise with 17 championships, quit. I know Celtics fans all over the world must be disgusted and devastated. The Miami Heat blew them out, 128-102 in game three." End of tweet. Irv is right. Boston quit. And then after they quit, they were shown up by their own scrubs in garbage time, who played with way more heart and effort and intensity than any of the Boston alphas or starters have really at any point in this series. So there are implications now. Implications and blowback for everybody involved. And that's the way it should be. Right or not, Joe Mazzulla is going to wear a lot of this. Most of it, if not all of it. He'll get most of the heat. However, and he deserves it. However, he's not helping himself at all in these post-game pressers. Remember, after game one, we had to hear him go on about how the team was in fact prepared, that the team actually won three of the four quarters, but then just simply let go of the rope.
We were prepared, and then we let go of the rope. And
like an all-time bad take from a guy who was clearly in way over his head. I said at the time, no credit for winning three out of four quarters. As a good friend of mine pointed out, what is this, the CBA? They don't keep score at the end of every quarter. You don't get points for wins in quarters like the CBA back in the day. Then last night, he doubled down. He flat out admitted. I mean, it's one thing to say we won three of the four quarters, but just let go of the rope. Last night, he flat out said there is, in fact, a disconnect between he and his team, and he's not sure why that is or even how to fix it.
Joe, I don't want to say if you lost this team, but is there a disconnect between you and the players at this point? Is there something not quite working that might have worked in February or January that you're not telling them to lose by 28 points, but you're telling them to try? So is there a disconnect?
Yeah, that's where I have to be better, is figure out what this team needs to make sure that they're connected, they're physical, and they're together by the time we step on the floor.
What caused that disconnect?
Not sure.
So that's about the closest you're ever going to hear a head coach to admitting that he lost his team in the middle of a playoff series. Hey, yo, Brad Stevens, you think maybe you might just want to tap yourself in for game four? Because your dude is cooked. The dude that you yourself gave that job to full-time back in February. And somebody should tell Joe Mazzulla that, quote, I don't know, is not a great answer to keep going back to.
Not sure.
Oh, I'm not sure. That's not an answer that you want to keep going back to. He doesn't know why, or he's not sure why the team let go of the rope in game one. And he's not sure why they stopped listening to him by the third quarter of game three. But what are you sure of, dude? If you're not sure of those things, exactly what the hell are you sure of? What do you know?
Yeah, that's where I have to be better, is figure out what this team needs to make sure that they're connected, they're physical, and they're together by the time we step on the floor.
What caused that disconnect?
I'm not sure. Let's not get into that yet. I'm not sure. So back to what I just said.
Not sure.
You do you, Jack. I like it, man. He's aggressive and confident on that board. He's Jack Savage. No, I mean that, dude. Do it. Do not get timid on me now. Do whatever the hell you want, Jack. I mean this sincerely. From me to you, I probably should have had this conversation with you before you actually sat in that chair. I mean this, bro. Do whatever you want. Hit any button you want. What's the worst that could happen besides you and I getting fired? Good. I like it. I like that, dude. Be aggressive. I should have had this conversation with you off the air, but I'm having it with you right now, son, on the air. Do whatever the hell you want. You have my permission. So back to what I was saying. The problem with just running this dude, Mazzulla, into the chipper and firing him is that the Celtics had just ripped off the interim tag and gave him that extension back in February, a.k.a. 3 months ago. So you're asking Brad Stevens, theoretically, to break off a dude that he just named his full-time head coach 3 months ago. And not only named him the head coach, but issued the following statement at that time. Quote, as he has shown, Joe is a very talented coach and leader. He has a unique ability to galvanize a room around a mission. End of quote. Huh. Excuse me, my bad. Is he showing any of that right now? He has a unique ability to galvanize the room around a mission. Yeah, as long as the mission is getting your asses kicked every night and then quitting. If that's the mission, nobody's better at it. What an incredible statement. Nobody is better at galvanizing a team and rallying the troops around the mission, as long as the mission is getting your ass kicked and quitting. Incredible statement. I mean, what a complete... And this is my half fam. I'm half chowed. This is my half fam. So believe me, I take no joy in this. What a complete and utter dumpster fire. Remember, this Celtics team enter this series as an overwhelming favorite. They've actually been favored in every single game. They were 4.5-point favorites last night, and they still wound up waving Jason Tatum's horrible white Miami Vice suit around in surrender before the start of the fourth quarter. By the way, Jay, the hell kind of fit is that? What were you thinking with that? You know, feel good, look good. Look good, play good, play good. Get paid good. That whole Dion thing back in the day. Feel like crap, play worse. Or look like crap, feel worse, play worse. However you want to put it, man. What were you thinking going with that fit? That backfired. 2 seconds ago, the Celtics looked like they were on the brink of a championship. Now they look like a franchise that is completely and totally broken. But hey, that's what happens when you get got by Heat culture. That's what happens when you get got by Jimmy Buckets and Gaucho Gabe Vincent. My man, my dude, a freaking legend. How about that, Gaucho? My guy Gabe, 11 of 14 last night, 6 of 9 from beyond the arc, poured in 29, was the leading scorer in the entire game. Gaucho Gabe outscored Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, a.k.a. Robin and Robin, combined. Last night, Gabe was as tremendous as the Celtics were horrendous. It's an amazing thing to watch a dude reach his full potential, and this is an entire team of dudes reaching their full potential. More than anything else, this is the very definition of Heat culture. Squeezing the most out of every single dude who suits up. I tweeted about this last night. If you have an entire room full of guys who self-actualize and reach their potential, that's a powerful thing, man. That is dangerous. And nobody exemplifies Heat culture like Gaucho Gabe, another undrafted player. Like, I want to say, where the hell do they find these guys? There's so many of them. They had 7 players last night who played 20 or more minutes, and only 3 were drafted. It's an incredible stat. And Gabe, I love the way my guy showed up. I love the way he showed up on the floor, and then I love the way he tried to keep it classy in the postgame on the inside the NBA desk. I also love how my guy Chuck was not having any of it and was not going to let Gabe do it.
You know, they're a really good team. They're a well-coached team. They got stars. They're not going to lay down. So, you know, we got to come in and handle business on Tuesday.
Yeah, clearly you didn't watch the game tonight. Yo, stop coming. Well, Colton, don't lay down. Look at the tape again.
Incredible. Incredible. Gabe's all classy. Hey, man, that is a well-coached team, and they're not going to lay down. Chuck goes, well-coached team, and they're not going to lay down? Like, that's exactly what happened. They're not a well-coached team, and they did lay down.
You know, they're a really good team. They're a well-coached team.
I mean, Gabe's all class. All class. Like a Gaucho would be. And Chuck just called him on it. What do you mean they're a well-coached team, and they're not going to lay down? That's exactly what they did. And they're not a well-coached team. It made me laugh out loud when I saw it. Gabe knows. Gabe was just being a class act, but he knows. He knows what everybody knows at this point. The series is over. The Celtics are cooked because they already quit. And their coach already essentially admitted that he lost his team and he doesn't know why. And that's why half fam, I am fully embarrassed for your pathetic Celtics this morning. And in a way, they're half mine, right? Because I'm half fam. Believe me, I am not looking to pile on. I mean, hell, we are fam, right? Well, half fam. But I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But I will ask again. Find me a more disappointing, unprepared, unmotivated team than the Celtics. And no, it's not the 76ers. They were bad, but not this bad. Not this bad. The Lakers are at least in every game before they come up short. I literally can't believe what I saw last night. And I will get to the Lakers, who are also cooked. Everybody is when they're down 3-0. The Lakers, you know all the stats. Everybody knows the stats. Teams are 149-0 in a best-of-7 series when they're up 3-0, so neither one of these teams are coming back. The Lakers have never even made it to a Game 5, win in this situation. They're 0-8 in that situation. So we'll get there. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. Other things that I want to talk about. You know, theoretically, it should have been a tough day, a bad day for the PGA Tour. What with a liver winning a major? Brooks Koepka was unbelievable. Except that wasn't even the biggest story. How can a liver win that tournament and that not be the top story? Well, that'll happen when one of the most likable guys ever and one of the more unlikely guys ever finishes top 15 and just absolutely owns the moment. I want to get into that a little bit later on. I may share the Rome family update, but maybe not. I can't lie to you. Got a little dusty. Got a little dusty this weekend as Rogan Loam played his last baseball game ever. I think a lot of you parents listening right now can kind of identify with what I'm talking about. You know, all those days, all those years, not even days, years, years of Little League, years of travel ball, years of pony, years of high school, years of private instruction, all of that, all amazing. Well, not all of it amazing, but so much of it amazing, and some of my favorite moments of my entire life, watching my kids play ball. So great. And that was it. That was Logue's last game ever. So I might share that. I might not. It's not great TV. It's pretty good radio. I might get to it. Oh, how about my guy, Jim Irsay, at it again, the Content Factory. Now, there's a hot taker if I've ever seen one. The one hot taker I do like and respect, Jim Irsay. How about this dude breaking out with a top five? I mean, he went full hot take factory. Hot take, Mount Rushmore, the whole thing. He goes with his top five of all time in response to the passing of Jim Brown. Jim Brown might have been the first giant interview I ever had in my whole career. Honestly, I interviewed Jim Brown when I was in Santa Barbara. So Jim Brown passes away, and Jim Irsay wants to acknowledge and respect it by taking to Twitter the top five list, top five players ever. It's not so much who we put on as much as who we omitted. And Colts Nation is not happy about that. And Colts Nation kind of collectively was asking, dude, are you on the sauce? How do you leave? I don't want to give it away or spoiler alert anybody, Pinky. I don't want to mention any Peyton Manning. Not only did he leave Peyton Manning off the list, he put John Elway on the list. John Elway gave a middle finger to the family, and he still put him on the list. I mean, it's incredible. Somehow, some way, I think old Jimmy knows what he's up to and is not trying to hide it. So I've got that too. Mike Vorkunov's coming up at 9:40. These are Pacific times now. 9:40. Kareem Jackson of the Broncos is going to be via Zoom at 10:40. Let me check out some reaction really quickly. Van Sizzle. Well, at least we know the NBA isn't fixed. I'm sure Adam Silver is very excited about a Nuggets Heat final. Signed Andy from Denver. War Nikola Jokic. War LaFlop tired. LaBag sleepy. It might not be what everybody wants, but you're getting far and away the two best teams. You can't say they don't deserve it. And yeah, we can go ahead and assume that that's the matchup. As far as the ref show, why do I think that we're not done talking about the ref show just yet? I don't want to be that guy, and I'm not saying there's a script, but why don't we wait and see what happens tonight and then discuss whether or not the ref show is still your favorite show? This says, this is from Tom in Boston. Dear LeBron and dear Celtics, keep your heads up. It's not a failure if your asses get swept. Signed, Giannis. Tom in Boston. So how are we going to play tonight's game? Last I saw, it was Lakers minus 3. Any reason for them to make any stand whatsoever? Denver is so much better. They're just a much, much better team. And Liz in Fall City wants in, quote, speaking of Jax, I'm not sure Jack Nicholson will survive another Laker game. Grandpops had to give a thumbs up before game 3. I'm assuming because his doctor just cleared him to watch that dumpster fire. Like, Liz, where are you going with that? Where are you coming from with that, Liz? Liz, why are you only, if If personal appearances are not show fodder, why is every one of your tweets about how what a guy looks like? That's your whole brand. Get off this guy. All right, he's not in the best of health. He's not the youngest dude. That will be you one day, Liz. Maybe sooner than you think or want if you keep going in like that. Ron Zinkel writes, Boston crashes in true Boston form. Denver fans riding higher than the burnout daily dispensary customers. No excuses for the Lake Show. Nuggets are playing a mile high. War Himmy. Unwar Lakers losing to a fat point center. Hey, Ron, easy, yo. A fat point center? You mean that fat point center that's won the NBA MVP award twice and probably could have won it a third time? Yeah, I did say that it was Troell. I stand by that. It's a regular season award. Nobody is playing better right now than that, quote, fat point center. That fat point center, if he's so fat, why does he have so much energy when it matters most in the fourth quarter, no matter what has happened up until then? He's finishing. He's doing the one thing the Lakers can't do. He's finishing. Guy's incredible. And then Drew in West LA thought that he deserved the opportunity to come in. He writes, come on, Jim. Koepka didn't switch tours. He attained the live. Signed that oaf in Chicago. You know what, Drew? Pretty well played. Pretty well played. Brooks did attain the live. Man, played his ass off, too. He played great. He played great. And that ordinarily would have been a great win for the Livers. Man, how bent must they be that some club pro from Mission Viejo ripped all their shine? Blocky. This guy's incredible. He's like maybe 25 minutes down the road from where I am right now. What an amazing dude. What a great story that was. All right, so once again, it's toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. So far, the Assassin's off to a good start. Jack Savage, do what you want, Jack. It's your board. I have complete faith in you. It's your board, dude. Do what you want. So one quick question. Let me start the week off by asking you, why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so incredible? Why don't we start with the fact that it is a family-run business, an extremely well-run family business, and they stand by quality, and they produce the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose the very best. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You know, you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender, it's never tough, because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, which are always seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. Old Trapper comes in four amazing flavors as well. You just have to pick which one you like best. If you can't decide, get one of each, because they do come in 4-ounce bags for that very reason. Or if you know what you want, get the 18-ounce bag. That way you've got enough for the entire family or team. If you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's pretty funny. So I thought I made it very clear at the top of the program that we were minus Alvin DeLauro. And that Jack Savage is stepping in. And really quickly about the assassin, Jack Savage, real name. This is not easy. First of all, being a part of the XR4TI is never easy. This is a hard staff to hire for. I'll just be very transparent about that. Jack Savage has moved from the back row to the front row more quickly than anybody ever has. Jack Savage, here's something else really interesting about Jack Savage. When I brought him in, there was a lot to like about him, but he had no radio experience. That is really unusual. Really unusual to come to a radio show at this level with no radio experience. Now, he had a lot of other experience that other people who have come here have not had. you know, athletic experience, educational experience, grew up in a baseball family. His dad's a coach. He played football. Like, lots of good things. But it still helps to work on a radio program if you have radio experience. And he had none. But he's running the board for a really high level, you know, frankly, institutional type program. So give the guy a little bit of space. But that's not what you're doing. Immediately, hey, Jim, where was the fat drop? You said fat 7 times before the break. I was waiting for it. Alex. Dude, like I said, Jack's doing the best he can. He's doing well, which is more than I can say from you. He signed it Alex and Windsor. Are you Alex in Windsor, or is Windsor your running mate? Your imaginary friend? Your wingman? Windsor. Like this guy. This guy was a little nicer about it. Derek Johnson writes, I didn't hear the Gundy. It just goes to show how conditioned you all are. How real the jungle Tourette's is. Like I say the word fat and you don't hear Gundy and you all freak out. He's got it. Cut the guy some slack. It is a really difficult board to run unless you're just here to get the plane up and down. You're just accustomed to Alvin, who's been doing it for like a decade, who's a master of what he does, taking days off. Running the board. You like that, Tommy? So, no, that's not an easy thing. Like, for instance, there are some people that are extremely talented, and they sit down in this chair when I'm not here. It's not the easiest chair to sit in. I'd argue that Alvin's chair is even more difficult to sit in than mine. So get off Jack Savage. One, he's doing a good job. Two, he's doing the best job he can. Three, he'll kill your ass. He's an assassin. He's Jack Savage.
Jesus Christ, it's Jack Savage.
It says, hi, Jim. Just letting Car Flag Nation know that I am switching out my Laker lanyard to my Dodger lanyard, hoping we get some starting pitching love. Nice run, Lakes. Signed, Brother Bob in Crestline. I feel you, Bob. Like, in market, on topic. This one is directed to Shaquille O'Neal. A few good men is what the scale says every time I step on it. Signed, Jack Thickelson. V in the fee. War the return of Mo Bamba. Lakers in 7. Damn, V, is that what you got? War the return of Mo Bamba. Lakers in 7. Hey, V, is that where we're at? Hey, V, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. If the Lakers win in 7, I'll put you in the smack off, V. You can jump right over the watch list. You can jump right over the golden ticket. I will put you in the field if your Lakers win in 7. Not only that, dude, I'll let you pick your spot. You can be on whenever you want in the smack off. You want to go last? I may even just say, you know how everybody always accuses us of picking the winner before the event? I may just pick you right now, V. If the Lakers win in 7, you won the smack off. Congratulations. $5,000 to you, dude. Because, I mean, after all, Mo Bamba's coming back. I mean, it can't hurt. I don't know how much it's going to help. You know what? If, in fact, the Lakers win in 7, you and D'Angelo Russell should do a tandem call. Because he's doing so well for you right now. Hey, Rome, with Alvy having a long weekend, be prepared 9 months from now for him to attain another kid. Robin, North Carolina, well played. Alvy will be looking to attain another child, I'm sure. All right, when we come back, the interview portion of the program begins. Mike Vorkunov is an NBA reporter for The Athletic. That's coming up next. First up, here is a sports update for you. Here's Andrew. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, you got my thoughts off the very top. Let me get you a different perspective right now. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, why aren't you on hold? It's smack off season. You know that. Player profile is getting underway this week. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a national NBA reporter for The Athletic. He previously served as the Knicks beat reporter for The Athletic. He is host of the Long Twos podcast as well. Mike Vorkunov is my guest. Mike, it is so good to have you on. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, good. Good to visit with you. Let me ask you first, an absolute disaster, Mike, for the Celtics last night in South Beach. Listen, I mean, you probably come out the same way I do on this, but you never, ever want to accuse an athlete or a team of quitting. But did the Celtics quit last night?
I think they were just scrambling for answers, and they ran out. And when that happens, you know, NBA teams just they know, they're the first ones to know when they're in a bad spot. So I don't know if you want to call it quitter or not, but it's, you know, they got outscored by 15 points in that third quarter, another bad third quarter for the Celtics. It was just a horrible situation altogether in Boston.
I mean, exactly what's happening. For instance, Mike, credit to Miami. Let's be very clear about that. Credit to Miami, who we'll get back to in a moment. But how much of this catastrophe is on the Celtics coach, Joe Mazzulla, and then how much is on the players themselves?
I think if the players get the credit, they also get the blame. There's only so many tactical adjustments you can make, and the Celtics have just been a weird team all season, right? They had a great record, obviously, but you could see it that something was always just on the brink of disaster for them. It would pop up every once in a while during the regular season. They had trouble in the playoffs too, and you know, last night, like, Jason Tatum had 14 points. You had 12 points for Jaylen Brown. We saw Tatum go through these cold funks at other points in the postseason. Or Jaylen Brown, remember, he had his issues last year in the playoffs too. And it's just, there's something that's just off with them. And we've seen it rear to a head against Miami, who has just been masterful in exploiting every little deficiency that Boston has.
No, I think you're right. So before I go to Miami, let me ask you this. If there is something off, and there is something wrong, and there is, like, is it fundamentally broken? If you're Brad Stevens, what do you do going forward?
I think some kind of change is needed, right? You have to figure out what that is. They have two key pillars in Tatum and Brown that are, I think, 25 and 26 or something like that. The question is whether they want to give them both these huge extensions that'll be somewhere around, I think, $600 million in total, you know, with the cap spiking, with salaries rising. And that's a decision they need to make. You know, Al Horford's obviously getting up there. Marcus Smart has been around for a while, and it's clear that something is just a little off. And remember a few years ago when something was a little off with Boston, we saw Brad Stevens go upstairs, right, and leave the bench. And so that was a big move. So we'll see what Boston can do this year if they really want to just take a big swing and, you know, try to change the roster in a substantial way.
Right. So, Mike, what about Miami? It's an incredible stat, but of the seven guys who played 20 or more minutes last night, only three of them were drafted, and yet this group is one win away from being in the NBA Finals. How do you explain something like that? Is it just that so-called Heat culture, or is there something else playing or in play here?
The undrafted part is ridiculous. I was watching the Knicks Heat game in Miami and MSG, covering those games, and I'm watching the floor. It's like Gabe Vincent, Max Schrute, Caleb Martin are all undrafted. You know, Kevin Love's starting, and he got, you know, waived by the Cavaliers midseason, and they're just able to take all of this and produce this juggernaut in the playoffs somehow. The coaching by Spoelstra is, you know, he's the best coach in the NBA right now. We've seen it time and again this postseason, and Jimmy Butler is just the playoff Jimmy legend is real, right? He picks his time. He wants to make sure he peaks in the postseason, and then when he does, and I think the big underrated guy this postseason has been Bam Adebayo, and just what he's done for them offensively and defensively, changing the entire tenor of the team. And we hadn't seen that from Bam consistently over the last few postseasons either.
No, you're right. That energy he has is just absolutely amazing. Go back to Spo for a minute. Like, I agree with you. I don't think anybody can really debate that he is the best coach in the NBA right now. What is it that makes him so unique and so special and a cut above at this point?
I think it's that he's not tied to anything. He's so flexible in his thought and the way that he'll coach the team. Like, one example is what happened in games one and two against the Knicks in that last series. You know, they won game one. They had Jimmy Butler. They played one type of way, kind of grinding possessions a little bit. Game two, Jimmy's out. They're putting up 53 pointers a night. They're trying to win with math and by trying to just hit more threes and hope they can steal possessions that way against the Knicks. And the way that he's inserted Caleb Martin into big minutes. And we talk about, you know, you mentioned all the undrafted guys that they have. That's not just the credit to their development. It's the willingness by Spo to be able to play them, right? I think in other organizations, even if you're bottom of the roster, undrafted guys get better, they still struggle to see minutes. In Miami, they just throw him into the starting lineup. Gabe Vincent played 35 minutes last night and scored 29 points. I don't know if he necessarily gets the opportunity to do that with other teams, and the coach has to put him in that opportunity.
No, I believe that 100%. And I'm a UC Santa Barbara alumnus, so I love seeing Gabe do what he did. But to your point, I don't know that others would give him the opportunity. It's one thing to get the opportunity, but what they get out of these guys, their immense self-belief that they all have, I mean, where is that coming from? The coach, the culture, Jimmy Butler, all of the above? It's like every one of these guys has self-actualized.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's probably all the above, right? You know, it's the coach who's willing to play you that gives you confidence. It's seeing guys who had done that before come before you, and so you know that there's a precedent for you doing it, for someone like yourself doing it. And obviously it helps to have Jimmy Butler, who turns into one of the five best players in the league every postseason, and knowing that you can rely on him to do the types of things that he does. And also the thing about Jimmy Butler that's really interesting and fun is he is so dogmatic in making sure he makes the right plays all the time. He's not forcing things. He doesn't necessarily want to or need to score 30 points. And so I think that feeds off itself, because if you have that kind of smart selflessness in your best player, everyone else has to kind of play that way too.
I think so, and I think there is a standard. I mean, it's so cliche, but the standard really is the standard, and there is a standard in effect there. Mike, what about the Western Conference? Denver is looking to close out the Lakers tonight. Let's face it, the Nuggets are bigger. The Nuggets are better. Do you think the Lakers show up well enough to force a game five, or are you looking for Denver to close them out tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to underrate the possibility of a gentleman's sweep, right? Get that one game at home, and obviously when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron, anything can happen, but if Denver finishes it off, it's probably right that it happens tonight. Why prolong it any more than it has to be? They're just so good, and there's so much skill and talent, and we've seen that the Lakers have struggled to keep up with that. Even when they do take leads, Denver just keeps storming back.
Mike, what has happened to D'Angelo Russell in this series?
That's kind of unfortunate timing for him a little bit, right? He had a few big games earlier in the postseason. He starts missing shots, but also, that's some of the questions about D'Angelo Russell that came into, just came up with him earlier in his career too, between the defense and just some erratic shot making and shot selection, and it's coming in the Western Conference Finals.
How about this? The Kyrie Irving rumors have reared their ugly heads once again. Can you see any way, any path, any how that he ends up in Los Angeles?
I don't know anymore. I don't want to ever say no with Kyrie Irving anymore. We just saw him get traded for a first-round pick and a really good player this mid-season trade deadline, right? I didn't think that was possible after everything that he put the Nets through for the last 2 years. If the players really push for him, if LeBron James really pushes for him, and we've already seen kind of that PR push a little bit to kind of bring Kyrie into the fold, even during All-Star weekend a few months ago in Salt Lake City. So I wouldn't put anything past that. Anything crazy can happen in the NBA these days, and Kyrie will be a free agent, so the opportunity will be there.
No doubt. So, Mike, nobody's ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, as mentioned. So how about an early thought or two about a Denver-Miami Finals matchup? How do you feel about that matchup from a basketball standpoint, and who do you like?
I think it's going to be fascinating. How Miami tries to stop Jokic. They have Bam Adebayo, right, who's one of the best primary defenders in the front court in the league, period. But we saw the Lakers get burned by trying to put their best front court big on Jokic. So will Miami try to do that as well? The difference for them is Jimmy's such a great perimeter defender too, that you can throw him on Jamal Murray, or at least at times try to throw him on Jamal Murray to really scramble things for Denver. And the defensive decisions that Miami makes are really going to be interesting for me. And for Denver, it's, can they play with the same pace against Miami as they have been earlier in the postseason? I think Denver's the favorite. I think it's kind of confused me why they've been so underrated this whole season, or even coming into the playoffs. They had the best record in the West and they're the best player in basketball. Usually that's a pretty good formula for getting to the finals, right? And yet people seem to doubt them. So I think they're the favorites in this matchup too, but I think it'll be fascinating. It has to go at least six, I think, with how well Miami's playing.
I love that matchup, and I think you get two teams that are very, very good teams with enormous chips on their shoulders. One last thought. You covered the Knicks franchise previously. What do you think their offseason will look like, and what do the Knicks have to do to take the next step?
Well, they got to get a star alongside Jalen Brunson, right? That's the easy part in terms of, what do they have to do as the next step? They somehow landed a star last offseason, right? No one knew that Jalen Brunson was going to be this good. I don't know if they knew Jalen Brunson was going to be this good, but if he went into free agency now, he'd get a max contract, no problem. He ripped up the Heat like no one else has been able to this postseason. But they need to get him help. They need to get more shooting. They have to figure out what to do with Julius Randle, who had another tough postseason. That's two in the last 3 years for him. And really, they have some avenues to do that. They have a lot of draft picks. They have good young talent. They were in the, you know, in the final conversation to trade for Donovan Mitchell, and they just didn't do it last summer. So we have to see if another star comes onto the market, how heavily the Knicks want to get involved, and if they're willing to pull the trigger this time.
Really interesting to see, no doubt about that. He is a national NBA reporter for The Athletic. He previously did serve as a Knicks beat reporter for The Athletic and the host of the Long Twos podcast, Mike Vorkunov, my guest. Mike, great to have you on. Really appreciate the insight. Great talking to you, Mike. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Mike Vorkunov joining us. All right, like I mentioned, I gave you my thoughts off the very top. Want to get you another bit of insight? Hit me up. What do you think? Also, remember, Monday is always an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Be sure to submit a question there. Listen later on. I might answer one of yours. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get the parts and service you need quickly from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, how about some phone calls? It's smack off season. The profiles begin this week. You need to be in it to win it. Get on the phone, hit me up, 1-800-636-8686.